Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yeah, you caught me again. I said the word we're because it's not the mouse in my pocket and me. It's actually somebody that is a successful real estate investor who's joining me on today's show. We're going to get inside of Robert's mind, and this is going to be a very, very good place for you to be because Robert has a background in real estate that has nothing to do with being a real estate investor. He actually is a real estate appraiser by trade. So he's one of these people that will go out and will do a independent analysis of a property. We'll take a look at what factors are out there that indicate whether or not a property is being transacted at a price that is fair to all parties. That's really, to me, what an appraiser does. Now, most people would think, well, appraisers, since they're like deep into the valuation of properties, they must know what everything in the market is worth. And I think there's some truth to that. They definitely have a much better understanding of what valuations are doing in the marketplace. But ironically, I'm looking at all the education requirements to become a certified appraiser in the state of Texas where Robert has his license. And I don't see anything in here in the education requirements that indicates to me that getting that appraiser's license and doing the business of appraising properties actually prepares you to be a real estate investor. So what we're going to do now is we're going to bring Robert onto the show. Now, I want to warn you, Robert has radically changed his life. He has radically changed his life by doing the things that we taught him at Lifestyles Unlimited. And we're going to get into his story. But before we get into that story, I'm going to bring Robert on and we're going to find out about all this appraisal stuff because we got to get this stuff out in the open. Robert, welcome to the show. And did I get any of that appraisal stuff right or am I off target?
No, you're right on target, especially when you talk about the education. We have to learn an awful lot, but it doesn't take you into how to be an investor in it. I can tell you what things are worth all day long, but there's the other side of the table, and that's actually running it and figuring out what you need to do, and that's not part of my education.
So how long have you been a licensed appraiser?
I was an appraiser before licenses were required. Licenses didn't start being required in Texas till 1991. I've been appraising since 1983.
Did you get grandfathered in, or did they make you go through the certification process?
Actually, no. Actually, back then, when I first started, all you had to have was a real estate sales license. The appraiser license didn't exist. When they started the licensing, no, there was not a grandfathered in. You had to sit for an exam. And actually, I sat for the first exam they offered. So I've got a very low license number because of that. But there was no grandfathering in at all.
So how many properties have you likely appraised over this very long period of being an appraiser?
Well, most of my work has been on the commercial side. I do some residential, but mainly commercial, and typically do, depending on the size of the deal, they take anywhere from 3 to 10 business days. So let's say one a week. So 39 years times 50.
So I think it's pretty safe to say that if there's anybody out there that has been able to watch trends with regards to valuation, you're probably one of the best qualified ever. Am I even close?
I wouldn't say I'm the best qualified ever. I would say that I've watched the cycles for quite a long time and And it's given me the ability to, I think, understand where things are going more so than somebody that hasn't spent that time and seen that many transactions over the years.
So what is it that caused you to come to Lifestyles Unlimited? I mean, what is it we could have possibly taught you that you didn't get with all that formalized education?
As an appraiser, we're taught to look at a property, what is it worth today? What is it worth today? Not what was worth last week, what's going to be worth a year from now, although that can come into the analysis, but what is it worth today? Lifestyles doesn't teach you about what it's worth today. They show you the movie. As an appraiser, I'm looking at a photograph. Lifestyles is, you know, you're going to do this today, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. So now we're projecting and showing you what that's going to do over a time period, what that's going to do specifically to you. I've always tracked, you know, values. Hey, it's going to go up, and here's where we think it's going to be in a few years. But it was really, as an appraiser, it's a forest and trees problem. You're so close to the individual deal, it's hard to sit back and look at the bigger picture and watch things change over time. And that was the big aha I had going through the two-day, the first time I took the two-day class, sitting there and going, wait a minute, I never thought about it in those terms. I also didn't understand the process that Lifestyle says, hey, let's go through this. You know, you're going to buy, you know, the ugly house, you're going to make it pretty, you're going to, you know, best product, best price, and go from there. Never looked at it that way. Never got down into the little nuts and bolts of the deal and thought about it. I saw it as a big picture, but I didn't see all the little details. And that's what it gave me. It gave me an education in that area.
Yeah, Robert, I think that you're like many of our Lifestyles Unlimited members that have a professional education in real estate. You know a whole lot about one element, but it takes Lifestyles Unlimited to come alongside you to give you the rest of the story, and you got the rest of the story. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how Robert was able to get into a deal for no money out of pocket.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'll tell you what, I got to get a two-hour show here because I've got Robert on the show, first of all. Second of all, I want you to understand that Robert's got a ton of information that he just really wants to share with you, because he, like me, wants you to understand that there's a completely different path to achieving the lifestyle that you want. And by the way, that path involves changing what you're doing for retirement. I mean, shifting away from what we had been doing to what we are currently doing now. And one of the things that Robert is doing is he's buying single family assets. He is putting these single family assets into his portfolio, and each one he puts into his portfolio is changing his life in a very particular way. But Robert, when you first started doing this real estate acquisition stuff, when you were a brand new Lifestyles Unlimited member, were you the large and in charge guy that was standing around the room going, I'm going to buy this deal? Or were you nervous during your first deal? Spill the beans, buddy.
First deal I bought was brought to me by a Lifestyles realtor, and he sent it out on the broadcast email. And I said, hey, I'm interested. And he said, all right, we're meeting over at, you know, they're Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And so I got over there, and it was me, and there was a young couple, and the realtor looked at me and says, okay, you're the one that said you wanted it first. So you get to walk through the house first, see if this is what you really want, come out. They're going to do it. And then if you don't want it, they're going to take it. And so I walked through, and I, you know, I had all the numbers and they were swirling in my head. And I walked out, and the guy looked at me and says, okay, do you want it or are they going to take it? For me, I was starting with not a lot of capital, and I was going, God, I'm going to have to write a check for half of what I got in the bank right now. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I bit the bullet and did it. It's been a great deal for me. Literally, I bought it April 8th, 2019. And what you may not know is I went in the hospital for the rest of that week. So now I've got my first investment, and I can't even go look at it. I already own it, but now I'm sitting in the hospital. So, you know, that one's been a great deal for me. But yeah, it was a little scary sitting there that first time going, do I do this? Do I not do it? And eventually you just have to step off and do it. And so it's worked out very well for me.
Well, tell me a little bit about that first deal that caused you to go into the hospital. You didn't go to the hospital because you bought a piece of real estate, did you?
No, I got in the hospital because I spend all day, or at that point in my life, I was spending a tremendous amount of time sitting down, working at my desk. And I'm one of these people, I get into it and I don't stand up for hours. And you hear about them when they talk about, oh, you take a long plane flight, you got to move around, or you get what's called a DVT, deep vein thrombosis, or blood clot in your leg. I got a blood clot in my leg. And so that's what put me in the hospital. It had nothing to do with it. But the point it did drive home is that doing what I was doing was not going to lengthen my life. It was not going to get me where I had the free time to go do other things. So I needed to get going on the investments, and that's what I did. So it worked out. It was a reminder that I had done the right thing and needed to stay on that path.
It's almost like your body was holding out for you to make the right call for your future. And then when you made the right call, your body just went, okay, man, I can't do this anymore. And then you wound up in the hospital and had a couple of days to actually think about what you were up to. I'm thinking that you were thinking deeply, because I'm looking at the results that you've accomplished since that first deal. And you've done some pretty amazing things. So without getting into the actual details of the deals themselves, What exactly has happened in your life because you're buying assets instead of just assessing assets?
I have spent my entire career helping a lot of clients make money. I have many times gone back to a client when we're doing an appraisal and said, hey, you need to tweak it this way. It's going to work out better. And, you know, hey, they might take me out to dinner, might give me a nice thank you, a pat on the back, but that's it. Just made them another $1 million. So this was a situation of I need to start taking care of myself. And that's what I've done. I mean, the way I did it, I started very small. It's gone up, you know, I think I'm almost 3 years now. Yeah, 3 years now. I'm up eightfold on from my initial where I started. So it's been very, very good to me. And it's just a matter of paying attention to what you're doing for yourself, not everybody else.
So that first little house that you bought, tell me what it looked like when you were standing there trying to decide whether you were going to be the guy that was going to buy it or that couple over there was going to be the couple that was going to buy it.
Oh, I was looking at the neighborhood, you know, what it looked like. I was looking at the house. There was actually a family living in it that still lives there. They had lived there for like 10 years when I bought the house. They didn't want to leave. So I know nothing about them other than they've been paying their rent every month for 10 years. And I'm looking at the house going, you know, if they move out, what am I going to have to do to make it look like everything else on the block? You know, can I pull that off? Is it going to be worth it at the end of the day? Yes, because my worst case was, hey, if they move out, now I really have to make sure I've got all my ducks in a row and all my numbers. Because as it was, I didn't have to put much into it. And if I had had to redo it, I would have had to put more, but the numbers still worked. At the end of the day, no matter which way it went, worst case or best case, it still was a good deal and still would have made me money.
So that family that was there that didn't want to leave, did you do the rehab around them, or did you work out a deal with them that they'd maybe go on vacation, or how did you make all that work?
We actually didn't do a whole lot to that. We completely redid the exterior, which, you know, that's not in their way. They were happy inside. I mean, we replaced some tile. We did some work in the kitchen and just worked around them, and they couldn't have been happier. It wasn't like, hey, you got to move out. I got to change the flooring and the walls and everything else. We didn't have to do that much, so it worked out nicely. That is the only house I've bought that actually already had a tenant in it, and they just didn't want to go. And I'm not going to kick them out if it's making money and they're good on their rent, and they always have been.
I'd agree 100% with you. I mean, you know, usually it's a situation where we have to, you know, treat the resident fairly, and, you know, if they're still in place, we have to respect their rights and stuff. And man, you found somebody that was ready, willing, and able to stay, and willing to let you do what needed to be done to remedy the house, and they got a better product in the end. When we come back from the break, I promise you, we will talk about this almost nothing out of pocket deal.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
I do want to make this point to everybody out there. All right. This poor lady signed up for one of these stupid stock trading courses. Do you understand that trading stocks on a daily basis like this is really nothing but gambling? You might as well sign up for how to cut cards or how to play cards, because it's just insane. You're going to lose. The odds are against you. It isn't going to work. And you know what? I want to add this to it. And so is every other real estate course out there that has to do with flipping and wholesaling and working your butt off and busting your butt and taking advantage of people and selling stuff too high and buying it too low and ripping people off. Guys, we're not doing any of that. We're buying assets that make us passive streams of income.
More of the Lifestyles Investor Show is coming up.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right. Where we're going to go right now is we're going to go into the discussion of a deal that Robert did that essentially was $0 out of pocket. Now, I think, Robert, you mentioned to me during the break that maybe you had to go to the closing table with maybe a grand or two. Is that about right?
Yeah, the actual lender said, yes, we know the numbers work based on loan to value and everything else, that you shouldn't have to put any money in it, but we want you to have some skin in the game. So I had to show up at the closing table with about $2,000. And, you know, the numbers worked. I shouldn't have had to bring anything, but, you know, they're the lender. This is what they want. You make sure they're happy because they give you all the money. Go do what you want to do.
What were you experiencing as far as cash out of pocket on your two previous deals? I mean, how much were you prepared to pay for this property?
My metric that I use whenever I look at a deal is I want to have at least as much new equity or captured equity or soft equity, it's called sometimes, in a deal as hard equity I put in. So in other words, if I put $20,000 into a deal, I want to have my equity of $20,000 plus another $20,000. So I want to double my money on the acquisition. So from this standpoint, if you look at the numbers, hey, I would have been willing to put, based on where I thought it was going to be, I would have been willing to put in like 25 grand. On this one, I put in about 2,000. We had a couple of extra expenses that happened that we didn't anticipate as we went along. There's another $2,500. So I had less than 5,000. I sold it like 14, 15 months later and walked away from the closing table with $50,000. So it worked out really nice. Counting the rent that I got during the holding period.
So you put less than $5,000 into this property out of your pocket, and you sold it not too long after that, and you've got a tenfold return on the equity?
Yeah, and then I got rent during the term.
I love that, man. I just love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that, because here's what I'm hearing. You were going into the deal willing to, you know, pony up 20, maybe 25,000 cash out of pocket. Everything seemed to be humming along, but then you figured out as you were moving through the processes, you were able to control your expenses. Valuations were better than what you anticipated. And what that did was it created a perfect storm where you were able to not only acquire that asset, but get all the repairs done and cover all the closing costs except for what, $2,000?
Because they wanted me to have some skin in the game.
I'm guessing you had an overage on your impound account, right?
yeah. And there's one other thing in that deal that you may not be aware of is the investor I sold it to thought there were still some good returns in that, and it was another Lifestyles member that bought it.
I'm just loving what I'm hearing, Robert, because what I'm hearing is a man who has found a completely different approach to real estate that has nothing to do with his full-time career, but has everything to do with his life. And you're doing things in your life to change the direction of that life. This is amazing. Did you stop at that particular deal, or did you go out and buy more real estate?
No, I have. I've purchased a total of 11 deals. I've sold three of them since that time. I've sold three total, but I've purchased a total of 11. You know, it's been very good to me. I mean, I'm at the point that the cash flow for them pays all my bills. You know, if everything went to hell tomorrow, all my bills are paid. Now certainly I'm not ready to retire because I don't want to live at that level, but all the bills are paid.
But you just described retirement. You know that, right?
Yeah. No, I know.
You're totally retired, man.
Yeah. Well, if you want to do the math and you look at where I was done, I did that at 2 years. So it's been very nice in that regard. I'm really planning on making that next step up and starting to look at some multifamily. Is the next place I go to.
So what does it feel like in your life, knowing that you're completely in control of your life again, that you can do appraisals if you choose to do them, but you don't have to do them anymore because you don't have to rely on that as an income source?
It's difficult. It really is. I'm a bit of a workaholic, and I have a hard time stepping away from work. I don't really have, I don't go fishing. I don't go hunting. I don't have hobbies like that. So it's a little distressing, to be honest with you, as far as, oh my God, I don't have to do this. What am I going to do? I need to learn some new things. And that's the difficult part of it.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is we've just regained control over your life, and you're not comfortable with it right now because that's not the level of comfort you've had for the majority of your time in your body. Fair statement?
Yeah. Basically, y'all ruined my life. In a good way. Ruined my life.
I'm so glad we were able to wreck that career of yours.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. You're still doing appraisals, correct? I mean, you didn't stop doing that. Okay.
No, but 50, 60 hours a week. Yeah.
Okay. But it's something you enjoy doing. It's something you're exceptional at doing, and you're okay with it. It's not like you're having to endure it. This is a career that is beneficial to you, is rewarding to you, and you don't even need the money that comes off of it, except the money that comes off of it now is going to buy you some more real estate.
Exactly. And that's the deal. I think about, well, you know, I do this deal. I get paid on this job. Hey, with what I've done over the last 2 months or whatever, now I go buy another house. So I really am thinking about it in those terms. Ooh, I've got enough. I can go get another property. Which is weird because in this society, we're so used to, oh, I'm going to go get a new watch or new clothes or a new car. And no, I don't want any of that stuff. I want another property. So it's been a really interesting change of attitude.
So the multifamily stuff, you don't have any multifamily assets in your portfolio at this time. Is that correct?
None whatsoever, yes.
So what are you thinking as far as the journey forward? Are we going to pick up some more single family? Are we going to venture into multifamily? What is it you're going to do?
Single family has been very, very good to me. I mean, it really has. It's a quick turn. It's smaller dollars per deal, but it's a really quick turn. At least for me, it's been. I don't think in multifamily I'm going to have quite the same velocity of deals, but it's, you know, instead of, hey, I'm putting $25,000, $30,000 in a deal, now I'm putting $200,000. So it's a different size deal that I think there's some economies there that'll let me make my same kind of returns and not have to spend as much time because I'm not doing four or five or six different deals for the same amount of return.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. There's definitely some economies of scale that occur. I mean, at the end of the day, if you trade in, let's say, eight houses for an eightplex, chances are you're only going to deal with one roof instead of eight roofs. But although that may not be true either.
Del Wamsley on how to live the lifestyle.
I lost money in the stock market when I was 27 years old. Black Monday, I think it's 87, October 20th, 1987. And that was my birthday, by the way. And I lost a lot of money in the stock market. I said, you know what? I'm never going to give my money to somebody else ever again. And I haven't. Every dollar that I invest in the world is put into something I control. Now, I've done a few passive deals with real estate, with people that I know very closely here at Lifestyles. I trust it. You know, I just picked the most trustworthy people that I trusted. I didn't care how great the deal was. I just picked the people because the people to me are more important. But that's a minuscule amount of my net worth that's in with these deals. I just did it so I could be a part of the group and have some fun and see what these other people were doing. But the reality is that all of my investments are in stuff I control.
When we come back from the break, we're going to get into a topic that, well, I'm not going to tell you what it is because you're going to have to tune back in to hear what we're about ready to talk about. See you in four.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what Robert looks for when he's looking for those single-family assets. And you're going to be very, very surprised to find that when he tells you exactly what he does, you're going to go, is that all you do? Go ahead, Robert. Kill it for him.
I, you know, sitting there thinking about it, I've done 11 houses, and nine of them have been what are affectionately called granny rehab. And what I mean by that, it's typically it's an older home built in the 60s or 70s. Grandma has lived there for 25, 30 years. She has, you know, and hasn't the property hasn't been taken care of. It's not that it has major problems. It's just the kitchen hadn't been updated in 20 years. The bathroom hasn't been updated in 20 years. It's got ancient carpet or tile that's just beat up. The outside, it just needs some attention. Everybody's been ignoring it. You know, everybody went and saw Grandma, but nobody came around and maybe mowed the yard, but nobody bothered to repaint her house. Nobody bothered to help her do this, help her do that. They're on a fixed income. And so that's the kind of house I bought. And, you know, we go in, we paint everything, we fix the floor, we, you know, depending on the kitchen, we may gut it, we may just put new countertops in. The bathroom may just need a little prettying up, or, you know, you may have to take it all the way down to the studs. It just depends on the deal. Some people, they take everything down to the studs and then build it back again. I've done two of those. I've been very successful with those two. I just have a lot of heartache doing them. I'm nervous about them. And so if I just do the granny rehabs, I'm happy with the return. I'm happy with the amount of work that I do on them. But I'm not picking up the hammer and doing it. But I am going over there and making sure the contractor's doing what he's supposed to do and that type of thing. And so that's what I'm focused on.
What about the price point for these assets? I mean, are you cruising around million-dollar neighborhoods? Where are you looking for these granny houses?
My houses, by and large, are in blue-collar, working-class neighborhoods, might be lower-end white-collar, but these are the people that get up every morning, go to work, come home. You know, the typical person that, you know, they've got, what is it, 2.3 kids, a dog, a cat, and you know, that's it. They're looking for a clean, nice place to live, a decent school for their kids to go to, and they want, you know, they know all their neighbors. I can't tell you the number of times I've gone to one of my houses that I bought, and the next door neighbor comes over, hey, did you just buy the house? When are you moving in? And I have to explain what's going on. And they're like, oh, we're so glad. You know, the house is kind of getting in disrepair. We really appreciate, you know, that you're going to spruce it up, because I tell them what I'm going to do with it. And they've always been very happy. It's kind of, it may not be the worst house on the block, but it's certainly not the prettiest when I get it.
Yeah. And the neighbors know that, you know, that the person that lived there was probably a wonderful neighbor and everything, but they're watching the property decline, and they're getting a little concerned about their own property values, because a declining property in your neighborhood can drag everything down, can it not?
Oh, definitely.
And who better than an appraiser to make that statement, right?
Well, I like to think that way.
Well, talk to me about the rents on these kind of properties. I mean, they're so small, right? I mean, they can't possibly produce great rents for you.
You know, Lifestyles, you know, teaches certain things. You know, it's got to you don't want to lose money. It's got to have cash flow. But even within the rules, if you will, you can kind of be to the left side of the lane or the right side of the lane as you go down it. And I have some very specific criteria that I look for. I'm not necessarily looking for cash flow today. Now, certainly everything cash flows and you know, looking at it right now, I literally got it on my computer. I've got everything from $250 to $442 cash flow on my properties on a monthly basis. But what I am looking for is a big equity hit. You know, when I buy it, if I put 20 in, I want that 20 in value of equity and another 20 on top of it. That's what I focus on, because my whole plan was I want to really juice that equity fast, and I've been able to. And you know, certainly part of that is the market going crazy. But if I've doubled my money in effect day one, it's going crazy on double my investment, not just my investment.
Now you've got me thinking, Robert, because what you've done is you've succinctly described the five different ways we make money in real estate. I mean, there's the cash flow. You've articulated why the cash flows are where they're at for you and why you're okay with those values. You've articulated the fact that you want to capture equity in your properties. In other words, when you buy them and rehab them, you're still at a wholesale pricing compared to a retail value. And that difference is that equity you're capturing. You're making money just by paying the mortgage every month. The fact that you're paying down that principal. And then of course, well, there's the tax advantages. I mean, talk to me about the advantages you're receiving with regards to how you're being treated by the IRS.
I pay no taxes on any of the income that's coming in on these, as far as that monthly payment. If you sell it, you've got capital gains, you can do 1031, or I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. But on the cash flow, I have no tax on it because the depreciation is covering all of it. Because I'm a real estate professional, it actually even shelters part of my ordinary income, my salary or W-2 income, as most people would think about it. I'm self-employed, so I don't have W-2 income, but that's the income we'd be talking about. So it's been great, you know. So you think about it, if you're self-employed, you're paying, I think it's 15.3% for both sides of Social Security. Then you've got your marginal tax rate. So you start doing the math. When you, for every dollar you get in that monthly rent, is really, if you're trying to compare it to salary income, is worth about $1.30. So it's very nice in that regard.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand the impact that taxes have on their income streams. I mean, and most of us that spent a good portion of our lives working either self-employed or for somebody else, you know, we just have all those taxes taken out of our check. We never even think about it. But when you become a real estate investor and you start actually watching your money working for you, and then you start to realize that the government is actually going to reward you by doing something favorable for our society, in other words, providing clean, functional workforce housing, the government's willing to reward us because the government is not very good at providing that level of housing. Would you agree or would you disagree?
Oh, no, yeah. The government hasn't done it. I mean, I can give you two statistics real quick. City of San Antonio, which is where I am, is in the process of doing a bond election because they want to build another 28,000 low-income housing units that the city's going to own. So that's that in and of itself, I think, speaks to the fact that they haven't been doing a good job of it. And then you look at the general housing trends in the U.S. I was reading an article from an economist just the other day, and it's literally we're short 4 million houses.
Yeah, so, and it's not going to get better, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I was talking to an architect buddy of mine, and we were talking about all the increases in the regulatory requirements for new construction because of the green standards. And this is going all the way back to like 2009. And he said that they're getting ready to roll out another version of that that's going to make it even more costly to do the construction. And it's going to create all kinds of other problems with the construction because now we're sealing these buildings so there's no breathing. You know where I'm going. Right.
Yeah. It's going to be a nightmare in that. One of the things I didn't mention when you talked about the houses I'm looking at, if you look at the houses and the price range of the houses that I'm doing and that I own, they are well below that average and median sales prices of houses in my market, so that. And I don't foresee it. But if everything just goes to hell in the real estate, I'm not hurt. I'm well below the average. And it's the top that's going to be hurt. Just like, you know, we talk about apartments. You don't want to buy the A-plus product because when things slow down, the A-plus tenants move to the A-minus. The A-minus moves to the B-plus. Everybody moves down. But there's no place to go below that B or C level. you know, at some point they go, I ain't going below here, and they'll tighten their belt and figure out another way because they're not going to go down. So those rents are going to stay fairly constant. Those occupancy levels are going to stay fairly constant.
I agree 100% with you, Robert. But we're at the end of the show, so I've got to say thank you so much for being my guest today. I know everybody learned a lot from you, and go to Lifestyles Unlimited Workshops to get started.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.